The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine, Wednesday, the 31st of May of 2023. It's the last day of the month, isn't it? Or is it? No, it's not. It is. It has to be. There's no other days with. It's no month with 32 days, isn't it? Yeah, it is the last day of May, and we continue to enjoy this really good weather. I hope you're very well out there, and you're going to get involved in the conversation with us today. Your WhatsApp and text lines are open right now for you, 086 60 25000. And I'll just mention, if you're listening on the pod or if you're listening overnight when the show's rebroadcast, feel free to text in. We can pick up your comments the next morning. Give us a call right now, though, for the live show, 07491 25000, and emails come in to us at comments@highlandradio.com. Plenty to come up on the show, as you can imagine. We'll be across all the big stories and big topics of the day, both locally, nationally, and even beyond. But let's start with what's inside and on the front of the papers today. We'll start with the Finn Valley Voice. Two Finn Valley natives were awarded Silver Scots medals at a ceremony in Dublin on Friday for their acts of bravery on duty. The Scott Medal is the highest award that can be bestowed by the Commissioner of An Garda Síochána, and is awarded for exceptional bravery and risking one's own life in the line of duty. Sergeant Eamon Griffin of Navanee Ballybofey, who is stationed in Glenties, and Garda Lewis Brown, Crossroads Killigordon, and the Beaches Ballybofey, a member of the Road Policing Unit Donegal Town, were two of four Gardaí who responded to a call in Glenties in 2020 when a male armed with a high-velocity rifle discharged a number of shots in the town. I remember that night really well. On to the Inishowen Independent this morning. Firefighters who rescued a Buncrana mother from near certain death in a house fire are being hailed as heroes. The 51-year-old woman was pulled from the burning building by members of the Buncrana Fire Brigade, who bravely battled back the flames before entering the inferno. The woman, who suffered smoke inhalation as well as serious burns, was rushed to Letterkenny University Hospital before being transferred to a burns unit in Dublin. We wish her a speedy and full recovery. The Inish Times this morning: over €11,000 was distributed in Donegal from the court poor box system in 2022. A total of 6,620 came from the Donegal Town Court Office, with a further 4,780 paid out from the Letterkenny Court Office. The various St. Vincent de Paul charities in Donegal collected €3,090, with 1,800 of that going to the Ballyshannon SVP branch. The Donegal Town SVP received €600, with €480 awarded to the Buncrana SVP and €200 to the Letterkenny branch. The Donegal Hospice was the next highest beneficiary, receiving €2,200 in poor box donations. Those are figures provided to Donegal Live from the court's service. On to the Donegal Post. And Glenties look set to have a Brian Friel Centre that would celebrate his work while also providing opportunities and inspiration for today's writers. The centre will be housed in one of the town's most historic buildings, the Old Courthouse. The building has lain empty since the last court sitting there in September 2015, just days before the death of Friel on October 2nd of the same year. Right, let's get on to the Nationals now. A lot of coverage of the census. We'll be going through some of the Donegal figures as well. But it's interesting to see what the various papers pick out from it. Ireland is becoming older, more diverse and less religious, according to the latest census data. That's the hot take. The population stood at, in the Republic, 5,149,000 on census night in April last year. That's up from 4,761 odd in 2016. It has increased further then since then, of course, as the census only included 18,000 Ukrainian residents at that time, with the figure now closer to 75,000. The population is getting progressively older, though. The average age of people in Ireland increased from 36.1 in 2011 to 37.4 in 2016 to 38.8 last year. Now, that's there's two ways to look at that. Firstly, it's a very rapid ageing of the population. Secondly, people are living longer, which is great. More people than ever are living to 85 and beyond. There's been a huge increase in that regard as well. But people just aren't having children at the rate possibly we should be having. Now, I'm not saying everyone should go out there and breed like rabbits, don't get me wrong, but it's obvious, I think, that, you know, people are obviously making certain decisions to delay having children or not have children at all or whatever it might be. But obviously, when things are tight too, there is always that consideration, whether people like it or not. And, you know, is it a great environment, even if you're working, to have, you know, two or three children? I would suggest not that is contributing to a slowdown in birth rates, but also an increase in the age profile of the population. The number of people in the state who call themselves Catholic has fallen significantly from 79% to 69%, but still a significant majority there, 70%. 7 out of 10 people in Ireland still class themselves as Catholic. There is a caveat. The Central Statistics Office believes the sharp drop may have something to do with how the question was framed. The question was previously, what is your religion, assuming the respondent had a religion. The question last year, following representation from the Humanist Association, was, what is your religion, if any? Okay, so they say that that's swung things around. But in terms of population growth, by the way, it is worth noting that the slowest rate of growth, everyone's worried about pressures on our services and this, that and that. And of course, there's an extra 6,000 people in Donegal now, at least some of them since that census. But we have the slowest growth rate of population in Donegal in the entire country. We're down around about 5%. I'll dig out that actual figure somewhere for you. But that's not insignificant that our population growth in Donegal is the lowest. So some of the key findings will go to the Irish Daily Mail for this. 38.8 is the average age of the population. As I say, it's increased from 37.4 in 2016. 85 is the number of people living to this. 85, the number of people living to this age and beyond increased by 25%, which, as I say, that's the good part of the shift in the average age. But as I say, birth rate's bound to be down. 94,000 people identified as Indian, Pakistani or Bangladeshi. 27,000, the number of people identifying as Chinese. 3,922, the number of people born in Syria, now living in Ireland. It's quadrupled since 2016. But you can see there, 95,000 people identify as Indian, Pakistani or Bangladeshi. Just short of 4,000 identify as Syrian. 83% of people reported their health was good or very good. But that's down from 87% in 2016, but still a nice figure. 13% smoked either daily or occasionally in 2022, which is a low figure, isn't it? Almost 80% of the population reported they had either never smoked or had given up smoking. So that's a really good figure. 171,000, the number of people with dual Irish citizenship. That's a 63% increase. A third of all workers worked from home for at least some part of their week, which I find interesting as well. 55%, Galway and Dublin cities recorded the highest proportion of single people and had the lowest proportion of married people. So in Galway and Dublin, over half the population are single. They have the least amount of people who have married, just over a third. 80% of households had a broadband internet connection, which is really quite significant as well. That's up 71%. 70% of is the proportion of the population who identified Roman Catholic, as I mentioned, as their religion. 43% number of single people, up from 41% in 2016. So lots of single people out there. 5,149,000 is Ireland's population. But let's just talk a little bit about the population growth then. Because Donegal's population, 167,000, bar the shout, and that's an increase of 5%. But if you look at the population change between 2016 and 2022, we're up 5%. Sligo's up 7.1%, Leitrim up 9.8%, Cavan up 7.3%, Monaghan up 6.4%, Louth up 8.4%. So all around the border region, significant increase in population. Donegal, as I say, a low increase at 5%. Down the west coast, Mayo population increased by 5.7%, Galway 7.6%, Clare 7.7%. Limerick 7.5. So, as I say, we have the lowest population growth from what I can see here over that period of time. 2016 to 2022 of any county in Ireland. Now, I wonder how many, if any, of you were affected by this. A Garda investigation has identified 16,000 Irish victims of an organised fraud gang who used a specialised website to commit global scams worth more than 115 million euro. This is The Independent, by the way. The Garda National Economic Crime Bureau has been working with multiple global police agencies in the probe into the online fraud shop used to con victims. Senior sources say the investigation, codenamed Operation Elaborate, has led to the identification of 300 suspects, the majority UK-based. The icespoof.cc website, which was shut down by law enforcement last year, offered criminals tools that allowed them to disguise phone calls so they appeared to be from a trusted organisation, such as a bank, so they could empty their targets' accounts. So that's the cloning of numbers. Do you know, in the past, we would get numbers and it would be clearly from some far-flung part of the world, and then we started getting the texts and phone calls from numbers that appeared to be Irish numbers, your local Garda station, a mobile telephone number. Well, they were able to generate these numbers from myspoof.cc. Well, the phone numbers used in Ireland to scam people included the eFlow toll company, banks, the HSE, Gardaí, businesses, government departments and delivery companies. Figures obtained by The Independent show that around 40 million has been stolen in this type of crime in Ireland since 2020. And that is why, probably to the annoyance of some, we do try and highlight any scams that we're made aware of or any new scams that are out there. So try and, as much as possible, limit the amount of people that are being defrauded. The Irish Daily Star this morning: continued delay on the A5 road project in the north is hugely frustrating, and it is the worst road in Ireland for deaths, the minister who greenlit proposed upgrades said. Sinn Féin MLA Conor Murphy was regional development minister in 2007 when the plan to upgrade the A5 to a dual carriageway was approved. Yesterday at Struil Art Centre in Omagh, he gave evidence to a public inquiry into the A5 Western Transport Corridor, with a large group showing their support. The A5 from Derry City to Auchnacloy has seen 47 fatal traffic collisions since 2007. Despite gaining approval in 2007, the scheme has not been able to proceed, in part due to legal proceedings taken by opposition group Alternative A5 Alliance. And we know the frustration that group has caused to many who want to see that road progress. The Sun this morning, and it's widely reported, they've got a picture of the robot at a Terminator, which I think is quite witty. But anyway, they're talking about artificial intelligence. And we read, wishing to worry you, that humanity could be wiped out by artificial intelligence, tech experts have warned. They said the threat from Terminator-style killer robots turning on mankind is on a similar scale to a pandemic or a nuclear war. Yesterday, a research group published an open letter on the dangers, signed by hundreds of academics and scientists. The US Center of AI Safety warned mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other social scale risks such as pandemic and nuclear war. And they've created it in such a way that it can think for itself. It can make its own decisions. And who is to say, and it's connected to the internet and it networks, who is to say what is possible. But that's not a warning from me. That is a warning from technical experts. And finally, just some more details on the ban on certain elements of vaping, which is due before the summer. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has vowed to crack down on the design and flavour of vapes as he announced a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes for under-18s. He said the EU is currently examining new legislation on the devices, but if it does not go far enough, Ireland will push forward with its own regulations. A cabinet approved a bill from the minister that will prohibit the sale of nicotine-inhaling products to minors. It will also outlaw the sale of tobacco and nicotine-inhaling products at events for children and ban vape vending machines. Ads for e-cigs on public transport and around schools will be prescribed, with a strict new licensing system introduced for the products. Mr. Donnelly said while Ireland is not looking at an outright ban on vapes, he does want to see restrictions on flavours, labelling, designs and advertisements in shops. He added, "We're engaging with the EU on the updated tobacco products directive. This is a directive we anticipated will be published next year. We're keen to see restrictions brought in on labelling. We're keen to see restrictions brought in on flavours," which I think will help parents, because it's difficult for parents if you find out that your young one has started vaping. and you don't want them to, but they've got a very serious addiction to it. What do you do? It's a toughie. Parenting is tough. All right, good morning, Kathleen, Paul and Annie, amongst those watching live. You can watch this show live every single day, as we'd like to remind you. You can go to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, and watch us there on your phone, tablet, smart TV or your Fire Stick. We're across Facebook on Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sport. And you can also watch us on Twitter and hit watch live on our website. We're there too. All right, back with our first guest in a moment. We're joined on the programme now by Councillor Niamh Kennedy, Chair of the Donegal Local Community Development Committee. Niamh, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, everyone.
Right,
how are you?
We're doing great, thank you. We're talking about the Civic Dollars Project. It's a community reward platform designed to increase our time spent outdoors, local recreational spaces across the county. Right, so give us an idea of this initiative.
Yeah. It's a fabulous little initiative. Now, I have to admit, I haven't downloaded the app myself yet, but I will do when I get the proper phone to do so. I'm afraid my phone's a bit antiquated. But anyway, basically, you download the app and you go into the selected areas within the county. There's one in each municipal district at this moment in time. It's like a pilot at the moment, but it's doing very, very well. So take, for example, in Letterkenny, you've got the Letterkenny Town Park. So you go in there and you download your app. First of all, you go in with your family or whoever you want to be with, and you hit go on the app. And if for every half an hour that you spend in the park, you get a civic dollar. And it's to a maximum of $3 per day. And so if you want, you see all of the companies, all the businesses and all of the community groups that have signed up to this so far. So if you fancy to get a cup of coffee somewhere in Letterkenny that's on the app, you may get a 10% discount or whatever the business would decide to give you. Or if you prefer to donate to, say, the Tidy Towns Committee, if they're on the app, you click the donate there. So it gives everybody a sense of, I suppose, leadership and control of the time that they're there. It's great, obviously, to spend time out in the open air. Mm-hmm. It's healthy. And it's given everybody a little bit of a boost, and it's building up. It's like a shopping online app. You can spend it on yourself, or you can spend it on some of the community groups that you think would be beneficial to them.
Okay, and so some of the places are really popular. We've got Drumbo Woods in Stranoller. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Bernie McGlinchey Town Park in Letterkenny, Swan Park in Buncrana, mm-hmm. which is always very busy, of course, Dunloe River Walk, which is a fabulous facility, mm-hmm. and Bundoran Promenade and Cliff Walk. And it's not about necessarily activity. You just have to be in those locations. The app doesn't check if you're running or jogging or walking. So everybody's included in this. So simply, if you go to Swan Park in Buncrana, throw a blanket out and lie out in the sun for an hour and a half, you collect your three civic dollars.
Absolutely. It's great.
I like it. It's lazy. It's good. If you want to be.
It's for all abilities, and that's just the way it is, and it's lovely. That's the inclusivity about it. So it's very important that everybody is equal in this, and that everybody just spends time in the outdoors and relaxes. And, you know, life is stressful enough, and I think this is a really nice way of just saying, you know what, let's give back, let's work together on this, and let's enjoy the outdoors, what we have. There will be more and more parks coming on board in the next year or so, and there's also more and more businesses and community groups willing to come forward now. So if anybody would like to, you know, add their business or add their community group onto the app, contact Margaret Fitzgerald in Unhealthy Ireland and Healthy Donegal, and she's available to do that and help with that.
Well, look, it's good for, I mean, obviously people might want to donate to the local Tidy Towns, but it's good for businesses too, mm. because they get tied into something that's healthy, mm-hmm. might increase footfall into their business, and they might be offering reductions in any case. But also to what this allows people who are already active and visit these places to download the app, mm-hmm. and contribute either, you know, as we mentioned, to get some stuff off in businesses, but even to contribute to the, it's just an opportunity for people maybe to contribute to the local Tidy Towns if they're already active. Mm-hmm. They just have to have the app. But of course, the aim is to encourage even just the conversation and the attitude towards enjoying our outdoor spaces.
Absolutely. We have an abundance of them. They're all beautiful and we need to enjoy them. And sure, in this kind of weather, wouldn't it be just fabulous to hit go and just relax and give somebody a coffee or have a 10% discount somewhere. It's a lovely, lovely idea. I think, I know that it's in Belfast already and I think it's in Dublin, but for here in Donegal, it's lovely. The parks and what the areas that we have, you know, we should utilise it more and get out there more. Just, you know, enjoy what we've got.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Niamh. I appreciate your time this morning. That's Councillor Niamh Kennedy there, who's the chair of the local Donegal Local Community Development Committee. You can download the Community Currency app via Android or Apple. It's on both stores. So you go to the Civic Dollars mobile app and you earn online credits by simply spending time on the Bundoran Promenade and Cliff Walk, the Dunlow River Walk, Swan Park, Buncrana, Burnham McGlinchey Town Park, Letterkenny, Drumbo Woods, Stranoller. Imagine if you live close to them. You probably just rack up the dollars anyway, donate them to your local tidy towns who do amazing work. And it's only when you're out in the roads in the morning sometimes that you see people out doing everything they can to keep the beautiful county beautiful. Right. Good morning, Greg. Does anyone know what is happening with the traffic in Ballybuffet this morning? I am a home carer and the road route has once again been changed with no notification and very little guidance on where to go. Is it that difficult to get traffic management right? Now, I will say I have found my commuting around Ballybuffet Stranoller better than the way it used to be. But that's just me, and it just is the way it suits how I use the road. This is a person that needs to go somewhere specifically. The traffic management has changed, and they're a little bit confused. I don't know how that could be related. We're more than happy to make announcements as it relates to roads, I'm sure, here for people who are in the car with the radio on in the morning or have the radio on before they head out. You know, communication is key. They're battering away there. It's important work. But if a little bit more communication is needed, well then use the services that are available to you. We may have the lowest population growth rate in Donegal, says a listener, but the growth rate across Europe is only 0.1%. We're still well ahead of Europe. Of course, well, statistics, you can find a stat to compare something to anything, I suppose. True, Greg, that many of our people fled starvation and persecution, but it really is a cop-out to compare it with the 40 that have been recognised as arrivals here under false pretenses. The 40%, is it? We need to get a grip on the migrant thing, which is being exploited under the refugee flag. The people who arrive here, and rip up their documents or what have you, they're not turned away. They can claim asylum and we're signed up to that and we have to process that. How the government go about sorting that out, I don't know. It is also not only directed at migrant people, but also at the LGBTQ community, women, poorer people. It's important for us to understand who's behind these campaigns and overcoming it by building a community based on belonging. Yeah, I get you, but it's very important. And I think actually it was Daniel O'Donnell that said it in terms of people who have a feeling or a view or don't like what's going on but don't say anything need to find a voice, I suppose. That would do no harm as well, because you can't stay silent either if there's something that you want to see changed. Right, we're going to be talking in more detail to Dr. Chris Luke very shortly about these changes to the sale and supply of e-cigarettes. That's coming up shortly. Okay, so as we've been mentioning, laws to ban the sale of e-cigarettes to children have been approved by Cabinet. The changes will also see a ban on the advertising of nicotine products near schools and on public transport. Now, just as it relates to children and vaping, recently published surveys of Irish school-aged children. This is the Health Behaviour in School-Aged Children Survey 2018 and the European Schools Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs 2019 show that 9% of 12 to 17-year-olds and 15.5% of 15 and 16-year-olds used electronic cigarettes in the previous 30 days. So there is obviously an issue there, and it's one we've been contacted by parents who are struggling to cope with the situation. Dr. Chris Luke is a columnist with the Irish Medical Consultant and formerly a former consultant in ED as well. Thank you very much for joining us, Chris. It's good to have you on the programme.
Thanks, Greg.
Right, so there is no doubt that we needed to do something. It's been taken us a little bit too long. But, you know, you just have to be out and about to see the amount of young people that are vaping and inhaling and getting addicted to a very strong substance in nicotine.
Well, absolutely. I was protesting politely about this about 10 years ago when it first started. And of course, I was denounced as a, you know, curmudgeonly old dinosaur, as you'd expect. But the key thing you've just said is that nicotine is a remarkably addictive substance. And I think you have to see a lot of drug taking or pseudo pharmaceutical history in the long run or in the bigger picture. And basically what's happened with vaping or electronic cigarettes is that big tobacco has had to try and catch up with the dwindling market in the Western world. Now, but obviously it continues to chase its new recruits in the East and in the Southern Hemisphere. But the bottom line is that the number of people smoking in Europe and North America has plunged in the last 10, 20 years particularly. So basically, electronic cigarettes are a new vector for nicotine, which, of course, is the ultimate agent that tobacco sells or tobacco contains. Nicotine is also, this is really important for parents, nicotine is one of the most addictive substances known to man. And it's up there with heroin and booze and crack cocaine. It's a really highly addictive substance. Combine that with the developing brain and the developing lungs of teenagers, and you really have a very, very worrying prospect.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the impact on brain development nicotine has?
Well, the jury is still out, but there's talk about, you know, addictive behavior and compulsion. And of course, you always, I suppose, tend to have irascibility on the part of youngsters who have been, the previous paradigm was cannabis. You know, if parents tried to fight with their youngster over their smoking of tobacco, cannabis, we know that they can get very cross and very grumpy and sometimes very angry. It's a similar sort of picture with nicotine when you try to stop youngsters who have basically become addicted to nicotine, you know, through the use of vapes. And we know that the vast majority of smokers have long wanted to give up. You know, most smokers really genuinely want to give up at any one time. And we now know in the last year or so that about 60% of vapers are similar. They're desperate to give up because while vaping is very good for ceasing, you know, smoking, we know that. And that's, of course, the key marketing message. That's the key mantra. You know, you use vaping to give up tobacco. The problem is that unlike, say, counselling or the use of nicotine replacement patches and lozenges and gums, many, many people are still vaping 6-12 months after they've stopped smoking.
You're replacing one addiction with another, really.
Well, precisely. And not only that, but many of them actually go on to what's called dual use. So many of them go back to smoking. And by the end of 12 months, they're both smoking and vaping. Mm-hmm. And of course, the worst of all, really, apropos the legislation this week, is that we know that teenagers who vape are about 5 times more likely to go on and try and get into smoking.
Yes, but the approach in this country, though, has been a little strange. Perhaps maybe I'm interested in your views. That's why I ask you is that, you know, I mean, we knew the problem with young people vaping in America, for example, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the whole Juul thing and flavored vaping and their availability and targeting younger audiences and using TikTok and other social media platforms. But also, so we stood by and let that, you know, we didn't do anything whilst the rest of the world seemed to be taking this more seriously. But also, even still to this day, we've never really talked about in a formal way the benefits of vaping to get people off smoking. It's always been, well, the jury's out. We don't have any long-term detail. We prefer to go down different routes. Should we perhaps have changed our attitude to vaping to say, of course, young people shouldn't do it, but more formally through the HSE or what have you, actually used it like they have in Britain and elsewhere as a tool to get people off it? So we could have had the conversations about dual smoking and vaping and all that information could have been got out there during that process.
Well, I mean, the problem, Greg, as you'll know, is, as your listeners will know, the Irish only seem to learn the hard way about anything. But before we start beating ourselves up too much, you know, we have been exemplary in other respects of, you know, of our, you know, life democratically, politically, socially, you know, with our recent referenda and our legislation on marriage and so forth. And of course, the smoking ban, you know, that was a world first. So, you know, I suppose we can only do one big thing at a time. Mm. But I would look to Australia rather than to Britain, because, you know, some of the figures from Britain suggest that up to 40% of teenagers have tried vaping right. before the age of 18 in the UK. And the rule of thumb is that about a fifth of teenagers are using vapes at any one time. So I think you're basically right. I mean, the bottom line is we need to stick to this, I suppose, tacitly agreed idea that vaping is quite good for getting you off smoking. Not smoking is extremely an extremely attractive idea in terms of public health, and in terms of the reduction in numbers of cardiovascular disease and cancer and all the rest of it caused by people not smoking. That's an enormous advantage. But I think we slightly need to medicalize vaping. We need to reduce its attractiveness. I mean,
that's what Australians have done, isn't it? They've medicalized vaping.
Yeah. I mean, it's very sinister when you think about it. And of course, the vaping industry has been very strong in terms of lobbying over the last 10, 15 years in this country. They've been protesting at people like me, denouncing me as you know, unreasonable and so forth. But of course, the problem is their own members or their own people have let themselves down. I've heard a UK vaping industry person commenting on how they now send secret young customers to the vaping shops. And they report their own members for selling these neon colored highlighter shaped vapes to children, and of course that's the ultimate proof that children are being targeted, because they're merchandising this stuff, this nicotine, with child friendly vector devices. Mm. And of course, the ultimate thing is that there's absolutely no quality control. And as you'll have heard, testing in the UK in the last month or so has suggested that there are very high levels of lead and cobalt and all sorts of stuff, really toxic, neurotoxic stuff in many illicit vapes.
Just in terms of how far we're going, actually, I'll skip to the key question. For some people, it's not going far enough. That, you know, banning advertisement in certain places, perhaps looking at flavor, but nothing there really to discourage their use, to make it more difficult for young people and maybe others to start vaping if they've never smoked, for an example. But is there anything in there that actually discourages vaping, in your mind?
I'm not sure. I suppose the bottom line is you have to target the producers and the vendors in their wallet. And that is the bottom line. So, sort of pop-up vaping shops, you know, which there are so many, as well as the obviously legitimate, well-run ones. The pop-up vaping shops should be shut down if they're seen to be constantly selling to children. That's absolutely scandalous and indefensible. But I suppose, you know, we all suspect that out of sight is out of mind. Mm. That applies to tobacco, it applies to alcohol, it applies to every consumable or comestible that people sell. So if it's not being advertised, it's likely to fall out of people's thinking. And that by definition is why companies like vaping and big tobacco spend so much on advertising. So I think advertising is important to target that. Close down pop-up vaping shops that behave badly and get our heads around the idea that vaping should be seen as a medical issue, a medical device and marketed and regulated accordingly.
And just on that, finally, I'll ask you directly, do you believe the HSE should start recommending vaping as a method of quitting smoking? And I'm conscious here that I'm kind of talking about two different things, and I hope it's not confusing to listeners mixing them up, but just whilst I have you on, I'm just interested what your views might be in relation to that.
Well, the problem, Greg, is that you're kind of retrofitting research and public health monitoring onto a device that's already out there. And let's not forget before we conclude that, you know, vaping is also a method of smoking cannabis and many other drugs. You know, wherever you can liquidize or vaporize a drug, like for dabs or cannabis oil, it can be used as an electronic joint. So that's a separate parallel issue. But the bottom line is, I heard scientists say that it'll be 30 years before we know the full extent of damage to teenagers' lungs. There are many cases of emphysema and so on being caused by electronic smoking. This is obviously mainly people who do it daily and frequently. And there was an epidemic of what's called EVALI, or electronic vaping associated lung injury, in the States. There was about 3,000 teenagers being admitted, or young people being admitted, because of vaping injuries to their lung every year prior to the pandemic. But unfortunately, the pandemic basically led to a cessation of the monitoring of all that, and it's been kind of forgotten, but it continues. So, you know, it's unfortunately, like most public health things, it'll take years before we see the full picture. In the meantime, I think we can defend counselling, we can defend nicotine patches and gums and lozenges and so on, because they have been subject to rigorous testing. Mm-hmm. But sadly, the vaping has not. So even though people find it very, very useful, and many people find nicotine, of course, soothing for stress and depression, but the bottom line is it hasn't passed any of the normal rigorous health testing.
It also, though, should be worth remembering, and you know this far better than I, particularly maybe for young people, it can increase anxiety as well.
Of course, and that sadly is the case with most things like cannabis or nicotine. Ultimately, they become self-defeating, because you consume too much of this stuff. If you self-medicate, you start getting exactly the issues you're trying to escape.
Yep, and very finally, we have a great team up here in smoking cessation within the HSE in the Northwest, who've got huge success with people who engage with them, and eventually they're completely free of any dependency.
My final point, Greg, is you're absolutely right. That's the good news. The good news is that over the last few years, the HSE and public health people and advocates and teachers have managed to drive down the rate of smoking in our young people way below 20%. So, you know, the overall picture actually is very encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for all of your time this morning. That's Dr. Chris Luke, columnist with the Irish Medical Times. What's your views? 086 60 25,000. Hiya, Tracy. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tracy. Right, you're issuing a warning here because you witnessed an act of dumping yesterday. So before we talk about the info that you have, what did you actually see, Tracy?
Greg, I was driving out from my hometown in Jailand, out a road known, commonly known as the Watery Road. It would be the lower road from Burnfoot to Jailand. And as I was coming forward, that road, most locals would know that road has a sharp edge, and sometimes people can go off the edge. And in the distance, I thought, oh my God, this car has gone off. So I slowed off to see if they needed assistance. But as I slowed off, I realised that, first of all, the female driver was just sitting very casually on her phone. But from the driver's side door, because she was parked in on the right-hand side of the road, so her side was in towards the hedge. Mm. The back of the car, someone appeared to be possibly changing a baby, because it was like baby wipes. So I did slow off with the thought of stopping. I thought, no, you know what? Stressful baby changing a nappy. Surely when they're finished, they're going to gather that all up and they're going to take it home. So, but I did observe the registration of the car and the description of the car and the description of the driver, and drove on past and thought, well, I'll go back. No, I won't, because I have a young child in the car. So I drove on. So because I'm going up and down that road every day, yesterday morning, I said, I'll just take this road just to see. And I was horrified to see not only had they dumped baby wipes, but 4 plastic bags of rubbish, takeaway cups, and a very big, as you can see from the photograph they sent your station, very big, like, shopping bag. And I just couldn't believe it.
They just emptied all of the rubbish out there and then.
I think maybe they were clearing out their car and I'm not sure what they were doing. But I'm giving a shout out to them this morning out of respect to the local community and the people in that area who worked only recently, had a major cleanup of the island where all generations of people came out. Mm-hmm. And the island was litter picked all over. And on a regular basis, we have people working with the litter warden. We have a man at the pier, an inch, that takes it upon himself every day to lift litter after other people. And the council work closely with him. So there's a lot of pride down there as to, you know, the upkeep of the area. So I'm putting a shout out to the person, because I have spoke with the litter warden and I have all the information on my phone. So I'm just putting a wee shout out. It's a Northern Ireland Rage car. They know who they are. Come back today. put all that rubbish into that big bag and take it to the free dump in Derry where they could have put it in the middle of the car, because they don't pay, I know they pay it through their rates, but there will be no fee on those people to go to a dump in Derry and dump that free of charge.
Now, you say you're giving them till today if they just happen to get note of this warning, or you will pass their info onto the Gardaí or the police?
Yeah, well, our local community down there will share it on Facebook. Now, obviously, we're not going to name and shame, but the fact that the driver was so complacently sitting on her phone, she wasn't a bit bothered about the act that they were carrying out. You know, and that's right beside our beautiful wildlife reserve and a walk that thousands of people use every single day.
And what kind of rubbish was it? You mentioned coffee cups. Was there dirty nappies and stuff? And
there was nappy wipes on it. There was a packet of pastries on it, because we went back yesterday because the litter warden is onto this now. Yeah. And we went back yesterday. There was actually a wee packet of buns on there. Like, they could have fed that to the birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, Greg, the thing is, that road is, like, very renowned for people dumping litter. But the locals aren't going to sit back anymore and take that anymore. There is going to be, the litter warden is going to up the ante on that road now. We've spoken with him yesterday. And as I say, down in Inch, like, I don't actually live in Inch anymore, so I'm not actively working down there because I live in Burt. But I care about the people down there that do carry out this work. You know, like, Terry Crossing in that area would work very hard. There's been issues with people dumping in petrol stations. And I don't understand it when it's people from the north of Ireland, because they can just take a black bin bag in their car, tie a knot on it and dump it free.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you, because the way you described the family, but you preempted that, I think, Tracy. I was going to say, look, you know, the cost of everything at the moment, maybe they thought it was their only option, but you'd already answered that question in that. And I don't believe that that's an excuse to dump, by the way. Let's be clear on that. But you've already said that if they do happen to be from that part of the world, that they can dispose of this free of charge. All they had to do was cart it another 10, 15 minutes up the road.
Yeah, and the thing is, Greg, I know it possibly could be a dirty nappy and nobody wants that in the car, but put it in the boot. And the other thing is, I don't think there's a local person in the area that if a person stopped and said, would you mind if I threw this in your wheelie bin? People would rather they do that than dump it along the road, because what's going to happen now is, unless this person, and I'm hoping that they're listening, I'm hoping that it doesn't have to go to social media, because I don't have social media myself, so I couldn't share it, probably thankfully, because I was infuriated yesterday morning, you know, when I seen it. But come out now and do the right thing. And anybody coming out to use the walkway, because that walkway is a gem. You know, it's the council were out there yesterday cutting hedges, cleaning up. It's such an amenity. It's a fantastic amenity, as are our beaches. But if you're going to come out, take a black bin bag with you in the car or a shopping bag and just pick it up after. Don't expect the local people to come down and clean up after your day out, because we all have families and lives. We want to enjoy the good weather. I shouldn't say we, because I don't do it, but they. You know, when I look at my relatives, my aunts, my cousins and the younger generation teaming together there not so long ago and doing a fantastic cleanup, you know, and Pierce McGorry, the litter warden, working very closely with them. Like, he has no manpower. His manpower is restricted. So he needs the help of the community, which we have said now, like, it's going to be observed and there is going to be report. And we can report this to the guards.
Do you know, and maybe this is, you know, the way we crack down on this this summer, in that we all are the ears and eyes. You know, we don't necessarily have to challenge people, but just to say, right, enough is enough. And I think off the back of the big cleanup, sort of, you know, that pre-summer cleanup heading into the first summer bank holiday or long holiday weekend, I prefer to call it, you know, that enough is enough here. We welcome people from different communities, from within the community, to get out and enjoy. But take your trash, take your rubbish home. It's not, we're not going to tolerate you throwing your stuff in on the side of the road, in ditches or hedges, or piling it beside those lovely signs. You know, they put these lovely signs up at beaches that indicate what the name of the beach is and all. They seem to be, they just seem to be like honey to the bee for rubbish. People putting black bags of rubbish there. You know, if you've gone to the bother of collecting it, take it home with you.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, like, it's not gonna lift itself. Those guys are going to go down there probably tomorrow. But to see how long this, but the longer that lies there, the more it's going to be ripped apart by obviously wildlife.
Fools.
It's also a risk to those birds that are protected in our area. And I just think the time has come where, you know, that's not acceptable behaviour in the community anymore. And the driver herself, like, she was sitting on her phone, be it talking or social media. You know, they're going to be over social media in a couple of days if they don't go back down and lift the litter.
And, you know, you talked about those buns, you could feed them to the birds. Well, the birds and other animals will go for those buns and probably end up eating a load of paper and plastic in the process as well, which isn't fair.
And the Burnfoot River, runs along that road, Greg. And look, we're all familiar with what happened a few years back with the local residents' houses there, you know, the flooding and everything else. So it doesn't do the river environment, the wildlife environment, but the morale of the local community. You know, I spoke to a few of the people yesterday who were involved with the cleanup. You know, the disappointment and the disgust. You know, why? Like, why? So the girl on, what day is today? The girl on Monday afternoon at 2:40 p.m., I'm asking you to drive out to the Watery Road, lift your rubbish and take it back into the dump and dairy. That's what I'm doing.
Now, there are lots of people drive northern registered vehicles living in the south as well. But, I mean, that's your theory, and I respect that, Tracy. But, listen, there are lots of people that drive NI registered vehicles that aren't actually resident there. But, anyway, I take your point.
But, Greg, if they're driving that car, they can still go to the dump and
you have it all covered. All right.
They have the best of both worlds.
And in 30 seconds, Trey, in 30 seconds, why aren't you on social media?
Life's too short for Greg.
You're right, Tracy. Go on, you can think. Life's all right, take care of yourself.
I have a great friend in Termonbacka, Father Stephen, and he has a great saying. It's not social media, it's anti-social media.
Yeah, feels like that at times. All right, Greg, take care of yourself.
Thanks so much,
Greg. Bye-bye, take care. All right, 086 60 25,000. Are all of you on social media? Any of you out there that used to be on social media that have quit it? If so, why? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Your WhatsApps and texts that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Right, I'm going to vacate this seat for about 6 or 7 minutes because we are taking a break now for the news and obituary notices. Stay right where you are. Another 2 hours of the 9 till noon show this beautiful Wednesday morning just around the corner.